4, letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. This is the second letter. We want to start reading in this fourth chapter in verse number 14. There's a contrast here between Moses, the law, going up into the mountains, have to veil his face when he come down because of the glory. His face shone, and the people of Israel could not look upon it. And he's comparing that, as he says in the last verse of chapter 3, but we all with open glass, I'm sorry, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He contrasts the Spirit, how glorious, how much more glorious the work of the Spirit is than the law. Because of the law, Moses had to cover his face because the people couldn't look upon him. He went up and received the law. But in contrast to that, those of us who are saved, he says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So there's a contrast between the Spirit and the law. And that leads us into chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My message title is taken from this 18th verse. I've titled it, Looking at the Unseen. That's kind of a paradox in a way. It's hard to understand. How do you look at something that cannot be seen? Well, that's what Paul's writing to us about, looking at the unseen. While we look, verse 18, not at the things which are seen. We don't look at those, but at the things which are not seen. Now, how can we look at the things that are not seen? I'm going to give you 3 points today in my message. First of all, looking at the unseen. Secondly, looking to the unseen. And then last of all, looking for the unseen. And we'll cover these 3 points in our message today. Looking at the unseen, as Paul says in this particular verse, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We look at things that cannot be seen. And then secondly, looking to the unseen. As we live, we're looking to things we cannot see. Last of all, looking for the unseen. We're looking for his coming. We can't see him, but we're looking for him. This contrast, as Paul says in verse 18, is between the temporal. The word temporal means relating to time and to this world, temporal things, versus looking to the things that are eternal, which means without beginning and without end. They're eternal things. They're not like the temporal things. The temporal things will soon end. Things which are not seen, he declares, are eternal. We're looking at things we can't see and things that are eternal. They're going to go on forever. Without end, timeless. not related to time. What are some of the things that we, as he says, look at? Well, first and foremost, we look at God. He can't be seen. We're looking at the things that cannot be seen. But today, as we come here, meet together in this place, some of you drive quite a distance, we come to this place that we might look at something that is unseen, a person. His name is Jehovah God. Things that are unseen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 18, John, in writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, stated this very clearly and very forcefully in the first gospel of John, when he says in the 18th verse of chapter 1 of John's gospel, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him," or he hath led him forth, not to our vision, we can't see him physically still, but he's declared him so that we can look to him who we cannot see. And we do that. We look at the things that are not seen. We look at God. We live because of God. We know that. Our next breath comes from him. Every blessing we have comes from him. Our eternal life comes from him. Our service is directed toward him that we cannot see. That seems strange to some, but to others, not all that strange. 1 Timothy, also in chapter 1, verse 17, speaks of this same thing. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. "Now unto the King eternal, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Chapter 6, same book of Timothy, verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. "Who only hath immortality," speaking of God. Verse 15. "The only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach into, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." When Paul says we look at things that we cannot see, we look at God. We're here because of God. We've seen him who cannot be seen. How do we do that? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." How can we see God who cannot be seen? "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We look at the unseen because we look to God. We look at him. We see him. We read Genesis 1. "In the beginning was the Word." That's John 1. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And we read that and we see him, though we can't see him. Does that make sense? It makes no physical sense, but it makes a lot of spiritual sense. We're talking about spiritual things. We see God. We read Genesis 1. We read all those early chapters of Genesis, the creation of all things, and we see God. We know it's God that did those things. No one else could do that. We don't see him with the physical eye, but we see him by faith. One of the best chapters in the Bible about faith is Hebrews chapter 11. Let's turn there for a few minutes and look at some things about this matter called faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith, Hebrews 11, 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There it is again. Things not seen. We can't see them. But we have faith in something we cannot see. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We believe Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and everything else. We believe the word of God, though we cannot see God. We understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. They were made by someone we can't see. That's what faith is. That's what faith does for us. We look at things which cannot be seen, and we see. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There's a whole list of characters here. We're not going to read all these. But as you look at Enoch, he didn't see God, but he obeyed him. When you look at Noah, when you look at Enoch, look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the Old Testament saints. They never saw God. At some times they would see visions or they would see dreams, but they never saw God. No man has seen God. No man can see God and live. God told Moses that. We cannot prove by demonstration that there's a God. The world quarrels with us. Where is your God? Show me your God. Sorry, we can't. We see him, but you can't. We look at the unseen. Now, for some, that's not sufficient. But for some, it's more than enough. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith. This whole list that we've gone through before this and all these 12 verses before, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They saw a country which cannot be seen, not with the physical eye. Seeing the unseen. David in Psalm 22, when he begins that psalm with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He saw the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000 years before he was born even. And he wrote about it. They pierced my hands and my feet. They parted my garments among them, and all the other things in Psalm 22 that David wrote about. He saw what could not be seen. And he looked at it. And then the next psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He wrote about the death of Christ in Psalm 22. Very vivid description of the words that Christ would speak on the cross. And in the very next psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David looked at God. He saw him not only in all the wonders that God led him through and caused him to leap over a wall. And he's not only his shield and his stay and all that he was to David, but he knew God and he looked at God without seeing him. He saw the unseen. Then Psalm 42. Brother Golly preached on this a few weeks ago. We had a good fellowship meeting the other night. Mark preached and finally got to preach. I think they had 12 specials. I'm not sure of the count, but I'm thinking they had a bunch. And I thought, Golly, what's going on here? I can't get one. They get 12. And Mark has to sit there and squirm waiting to get up to preach. I know you're squirming, brother. I saw you. But notice in Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water, brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I think Tim and Chrissy will sing that tonight, I hope. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Notice the mystery here. He could say his soul was panting after God, as a hart panteth after the water brooks. He could say his soul thirsted for God, and yet he couldn't see him. When shall I come and appear before God? Notice verse 4, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? They were asking that, where is your God? He couldn't show them his God, but he was so real. He could write about him. He could also write verse 5 in this same psalm, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why are you cast down? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. I shall yet praise him. David praised him all of his life. That's why we have the book of Psalms, the record of his life and his trials and the things that he went through, how God was with him in all of it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Hope in the person you cannot see. Place your hope in one, that when you read in the Word of God that your next breath comes from him. When you read in the Word of God that he holds the waters of the world in his palm of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a balance. He created heaven and earth. When you read in the Word of God that he made man in his own image and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, you believe that. You know that's true. You can see him who cannot be seen. So we look at him. David looked at him. All the Old Testament saints looked for him, for his coming the first time. But David was looking, and we are looking unto the unseen, the time that he will come to this earth. We look at him, we look to him. When we have trouble, we go to the Lord. We can't see him, but that doesn't stop us from going to him. How prevalent is prayer in the life of God's people? How often do we go to God in prayer? We can't see him. We've never seen him. We'll never see him until he appears. But doesn't change our assurance. Doesn't change our faith in him. We've never seen him. I love the book of Job, and I read a few passages each year. Here's an Old Testament saint in chapter 19 of Job's book, just before Psalms. You'll find the book of Job. In the 19th chapter, oh, he had trouble. I mean, we've never had any trouble like Job had. 10 children in one stroke. How did he take it? 10 children with one tornado. They were gone. He loved them so much. He interceded for them every time they got together. Job offered sacrifices to God lest they had sinned. And God took them immediately out of this world. He took everything Job had materially. But notice the testimony of the man Job in chapter 19 of Job. Begin reading with me in verse 21. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. One he could not see touched him, and he knew it. The hand of God touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. God answered that prayer, didn't he? We have the book of Job. What a wonderful book it is. He had a lot of trouble, but you know, when you get to the end, it's so much better in the end than it was and all those trouble he had. It's a good picture of what we're expecting. Notice verse 24, that they were graven with iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job looked to one he could not see. I know he lives. He's my Redeemer. He's the one that's going to redeem me from my sin. That he shall stand. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He knew. He looked not only for him. He looked not only to him. He looked not only at him. But he said, I know that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, he knew he was going to die. It comes to all of us. Unless the Lord raptures us out, we're going to die. That's not something people like to talk about. Not something we like to prepare for. But it's reality. And Job says, I know after skin worms destroy this body. That's an ugly thought. But that's what happens. It's reality. In my flesh shall I see God. The one he had never seen. He lived by faith on this earth. He looked at God. He looked for God. He looked to God. And I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold and not another. My eyes are going to see him. I've never seen him. I've lived my whole life. I died and went into the graves and skin worms eat my body. But I'm going to see him. Though my reins be consumed within me, I'm going to see him. It's what's known as living by faith. Living by faith. That song we sing sometimes, to give the things you cannot keep for the things you cannot lose, is a way to find the joy God has for you. Give the things you cannot keep, things you can't even really understand. To give those things for the things you cannot see is the way to know the joy God has for you. Living by faith. Looking to Jesus. Looking at him. We see him on the cross. We've never seen the scene. But when I hear the gospel preached, it's as if I'm standing right there watching. We look at the unseen. We look for the unseen. He's coming again. We look to the unseen day after day after day. We pray. We have needs. Things happen in our life. We don't know how to solve them. But we know who does. We know who has the answers. So we ask him, if it could be thy will, give me such and such. Deliver my family from this terrible plight that we're in. Deliver my body from this terrible sickness that I'm dealing with. We see the unseen. Now, this is the day the world marks the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of you know that. Those who look at the unseen, we do this every Sunday, don't we? Every Lord's Day. This is the day that marks his resurrection, always has been. Not once a year. 52 times a year, sometimes 53. The calendar happens to be right. His resurrection is real. It's the proof that God has accepted us. Those who look at the unseen things and look to the unseen one for our daily needs and look for his glorious appearing when he'll come and we'll see him that we've never seen before. You know what Peter says? Whom having not seen you love, and whom though seeing him not you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We've never seen him, but we rejoice even though we've never seen him. Look at Romans 6, verse 4. I want to read this to you because I think it'll have an impact on what I'm trying to say. Paul's letter to the Roman saints in a sixth chapter in the fourth verse, he says this to those of us who've trusted in Christ. Romans 4, 6. Or I said 6, 4, didn't I? Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death. We see what can't be seen in our baptism. Isn't that true? We don't see anything physical, but we see nonetheless. As Abel saw, as Enoch saw, as Noah saw, as David saw, as all the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints who did not see the Lord in person. We're buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Why do we do that? Because we see what's unseen. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We see that. As Job said, though I die, I'll live again. I'm going to see him for myself. With my own eyes, I'm going to see him. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You won't experience this unless you see the unseen. The reason so many people profess the name of Christ and they're never able to do or understand what this verse is saying, because they don't really see the unseen. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We believe that. We can't see it. We can't demonstrate it literally. We take it by faith and we see it as if it's already happened. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Who will do that? Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. The only people that will ever understand any of this that Paul has written are those who can see the unseen. They see things that no one else can see. They see things that the eyes of man cannot see. We look at things that are unseen. We look to things that are unseen. That's how we're able to live day by day by day. We look to the one who holds our life in his hand. We look to him. We love him. We pray to him. We humble ourselves before him, because he saved us not to live to ourselves, but we might yield our members as instruments unto righteousness and be alive unto God. You know, every Lord's Day, we look for the unseen to come back. You realize that? We should be looking for the Lord. Every Lord's Day, not once a year. The resurrection should be so real in our hearts and minds that Jesus Christ is alive. We know that. And he's coming again. And he's coming for those who can see the unseen. And it affects their lives. Jesus is coming to earth again. We sing that hymn sometime. What if it were today? Where would he find you? How will he find you? Following the ways of the world? Living loosely and just for temporal things? Is that all you're going to be finding you? Living for the temporal things of this world, the things that are not real, they don't last, they're going to end. Will he find you living for the eternal things that'll never end? Look at verse 18 again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll close with this passage while we look. That indicates vision, doesn't it? While we look, it is vision. It's not physical vision, it's spiritual eyesight. We look not at things which are seen. We don't have to see it. But at the things which are not seen. It cannot be seen. We can't see God. We can't see his purposes. We can't see what's coming next in our own lives. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They have to do with this world. They're limited by time. They're in time. And someday there'll be no time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We look at the eternal things. Might look to him who is eternal. John said, I show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. 1 John chapter number 1. He is eternal life. Will you be looking for him? I think Job was. Job's probably the oldest book in the Bible, as near as we can tell. Written many, many years ago. But he says, I know I shall see him with my own eyes. I shall see him. After the skin worms destroy my body. He's a realist. And some people don't know why that gives me shivers. Well, be real. That's what happens when we die. Skin worms destroy our bodies. We go back to the dust. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You'll see what God has in store for us. Unless he comes in the rapture before we die. Yet in my flesh I shall see God. The eternal, invisible God will one day appear. Can't see him now. No man has seen God at any time. That's temporal. That's in time. But the day is coming when we will see him. No more faith. No more hope. What do you need hope for? You see him. It's all put away. When you see him, you won't need hope anymore. You won't need faith anymore. You will see the unseen. I'm going to read a few passages. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and I'll conclude the message with this passage. The epistle of 1 John, the third chapter. Most of you are familiar with this, but nonetheless, we'll read it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You don't have to wait till you die. Now. That's a present tense. Now, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him. We look for him. We look at him. We look to him. We're looking for him. And someday we're going to see him, because that's what it's all about. We shall see him as he is. No more faith. No more struggles. No more sin. No more battling against this old flesh. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Where would he find you? I'm glad for those of you here. He'll find you in church if he came today. If he came right now, he'll find you in his house. How will he find you? Even here, are you looking at the temporal things that are limited by time? Or are you looking at the eternal? Are you looking for the eternal Son of God? Those things that are eternal. Looking at the unseen. We can't prove it. We have no proof. We don't need it. That's what faith is. Look at the eternal that you might look to him who is eternal. That you'll be looking for him when he comes. How many times did Jesus tell us, watch, no man knows the day than the hour. Be ready. Time and again, that was in his preaching to us in the days of his ministry. But one day, the eternal, invisible God that Paul wrote to Timothy about will be able to appear and we'll see him. We will see what we've never seen. Now, I've been saved for many years, 1963. Been looking for the same thing. By God's goodness and grace, looking for the same thing. I want to see him. I love that song, "Oh, I Want to See Him." We sing it in a choir, and it's one of my favorite songs. "Oh, I Want to See Him, Look Upon His Face." That'll give you joy. It gives you something to live for. The temporal things are temporary. They're going to pass away. But the things that will make your life are the eternal things. That's why we encourage you to be faithful in God's house. Be faithful to him that you can't see. Yes, it's hard. Because the world can show you a lot of things you can see, and they draw like a magnet. But just remember, look to the unseen. Look at him, look to him, and look for him. Because he's going to appear one of these days. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd use it to honor yourself, to teach this people, Father, that we might separate ourselves from the ways and the things of this world and look to you in all things, look for you. Thank you, Father, for the vision that we have through faith, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, that we look to eternal things. I pray for every person who's here this morning that they might know what I'm preaching about, might be able to grasp what it means to look for the unseen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.